It's election time, a time we love to hate. We're flooded with political ads until we're sick of them. And yet we know elections are important and that we value democracy. Our faith life should influence our civic life. Otherwise, it's just another lifestyle choice. It's no different than the decision to choose whether we live in the city or in the suburbs, whether we're on Facebook or on TikTok. And our first reading in our gospel today reminds us that the challenge of how our faith life interacts with our civic life is not a new one. But these readings can give us some perspective. Babylon captured Jerusalem and the kingdom of Judah about 500 years before the birth of Christ. And then many of the Jews were deported to Babylon. In our first reading, we read about Cyrus, and he was the king of the Persian Empire. And the Persian Empire was rising to power and challenging the control in the area of Babylon. And eventually, Cyrus and the Persians would conquer Babylon, and they would send the Jewish people back to their homeland. But Persia didn't give the Jewish people independence. They continued to rule over them. And in fact, the Jewish people would be under a succession of foreign empires. First Babylon, then Persia, then the Greeks, and finally the Romans, which is the setting for the gospel today. The Pharisees had mostly given up on a hope of an independent Israel. And so they retreated to the spiritual realm, and they emphasized ritual purity as a way of hastening the coming of the Messiah, who they hoped would then give independence to Israel. The Herodians were supporters of King Herod and his sons, and they were Jewish collaborators with the Romans. In exchange for keeping the Roman province in order, the Herodians were given local civil authority. So the Pharisees retreated from civic engagement, and the Herodians had exchanged their faith for petty civil authority. While the Pharisees and Herodians were diametrically opposed to each other, they could agree on one thing. Something had to be done about this Jesus of Nazareth. So they try to trap Jesus, and it doesn't work. But what exactly does Jesus mean when he says, "Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God"? Jesus can't be saying that our faith life is separate from our civic life. His faith life led to his crucifixion by the civil authorities. He couldn't keep his faith life separate from his civic life, nor can we. Jesus asks to see the coin that's used to pay the census tax. On one side of that coin was the image of Tiberius Caesar, the Roman Empire. And on there, it had the inscription, "Tiberius Caesar, August son of the divine Augustus." And on the other side of the coin were the words, "High priest." Now, the coin is key. The coin is highly objectionable from a religious perspective because it's saying a dead Gentile king is a god and the living Gentile king is a high priest. So on the one hand, Jesus satisfies the Pharisees by basically saying, "You don't want any part of this coin." And on the other hand, he satisfies the Herodians by saying it is lawful to pay the emperor's tax. But what does this passage have to do with us today? Well, the coin is key. We need to think of ourselves as a kind of coin. What's the question that Jesus asks the Pharisees and the Herodians? Jesus asks, "Whose image is this?" And that question brings us back to Genesis, when God says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." if we are a coin and it's God's image on that coin, then what belongs to God is us, our whole selves. We can't compartmentalize ourselves if we're going to be a people of integrity. We can't separate our faith life in one corner at Mass on Sunday and then take a different part of ourselves to work or to school on Monday, or a different part of ourselves to sporting events on Saturday. And we can't take a different part of ourselves to the ballot when we're voting in an election. Our whole selves belong to God. And we have to give God our whole selves, every aspect of our life, if we are going to legitimately call ourselves Christians. But voting can be hard, messy, and complicated. Candidates are a mixed bag because they're imperfect people, and they operate in a world of compromise in politics. Political parties represent a wide range of viewpoints. No person, no party, fully embraces the values of the gospel and the teachings of the church. Jesus is telling us in the gospel today that we are not to disengage from civic life like the Pharisees, and we are not to jettison our faith in exchange for petty authority and politics like the Herodians. Instead, Jesus is calling us to act like we belong to God in every aspect of our lives. So how do we act like we belong to God when we elect our leaders? I think we do that in three ways. First, we learn what we can about the candidates. Second, we learn what the church teaches. And third, we pray. We learn about the candidates, not from their TV commercials, but from what they do and say. We have to do some homework, and we have to look at different sources. We learn about what the church teaches. The Archdiocese of Cincinnati has a great resource, ivotecatholic.com, where there are short videos there on 7 basic principles of Catholic teaching. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has a wonderful document, Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship. And finally, we pray. We shouldn't vote for who we want to vote for. We should vote for who God wants us to vote for. It's thy word be done, thy will be done, not my will be done. And finally, we need to do a lot of listening to God. Voting can be hard, messy, and complicated. But we can take comfort from our first reading from Isaiah. He reminds us that God is in control, and he's not going to leave us to fend for ourselves alone. Even in the midst of great trial and tribulation, God is intervening in political affairs, as he did at the time of Cyrus, because Cyrus was the one who was going to take the chosen people and return them to their homeland. We belong to God. And that knowledge is the source of great wisdom of how we can make the right decisions, and also great comfort in knowing that God is in control and that in the end, he will bring things ultimately to the good.